Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and hath determined the times before of their habitation, and hath set the bounds of their habitation, that they may seek after the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or nakedness, or famine, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things it is written, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful Savior we serve. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful church. What a wonderful celebration. And the 53rd anniversary of Worth Baptist Church. I was thinking as I sat there on the platform and the pastor was asking 5 years or 10 years. Well, it's been so long I can't even remember when I joined. But I know for the 53 years of this church I've been a part for 49 of those years. And I thank God for that privilege and opportunity. I am glad to see you here today. Some faces from long ago and yesteryear. People that I knew and loved and served with. Thank God for the memories. Thank God for the blessings and benedictions and benefits and bonuses that God has showered upon this church for more than half a century. Well, I know the time is of the essence, but when you're in the 53rd year, what does time mean? And when you got your lunch prepared for you over there, you don't have to wait in line at a cafeteria. You don't have to drive across town. You just have to go across the driveway. So, sit back and relax. I can assure you I'm not going to take much of your time. I may take just a little bit. Whoever said a church service had to end it? 12 o'clock. You know, we begin at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock flat. That when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. I want to see what God's thinking about in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 16. I'm going to read beginning at verse number 13 down through verse number 18. And I hope the Bible with you. And I hope that all things will be to His honor, to His glory today. We'll read after we pray. And now, Heavenly Father, we offer our prayer of thanksgiving, of gratitude for all of the blessings and all the good things you've done for Worth Baptist Church in 53 years as a shining in the Metroplex, across the state, across the nation, and around the world. Now I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. I pray that you would silence our hearts. I pray that you would overshadow us with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Give us insight and foresight and direction and guidance and counsel and wisdom and a touch of heaven is our prayer in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 16. At verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ asked his disciples a very positive, penetrating, pulsating, powerful question. That question is embodied in my text that I read you. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter answered, or they answered, the group of disciples, it seems almost in unison. Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the old prophets. Then Jesus got really personal. Can I get personal with you? What think ye of Jesus? Who is Jesus? What are you doing about Jesus? Have you trusted him as your personal Savior? If you have not, could I tell you that the ministry of this church for 53 years and this service today is designed to bring you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? What is that personal question? "But whom say ye that I am?" And you know Peter's answer. It says it all. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In response to Peter's answer, Jesus made the most definitive declaration about the building of the church found anywhere in the New Testament. Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter. You are the small stone, you are the pebble. Upon this rock, the huge stone, upon Jesus himself, who is the rock of ages, who's cleft for me, in whom I'm hiding today from all the ills and all the burdens and problems and threats of Satan, we're safe as we're anchored in the rock of ages." Jesus said, "Upon this rock himself, I will build my church." And ladies and gentlemen, he did. And it is flourishing today. And it will continue to flourish. in all the tomorrows of time and in the ages to come. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Ladies and gentlemen, could I tell you that the church is not an invisible body, massless and faceless and nameless? Dr. Insminger, our professor in the seminary many years ago, almost six decades ago, said to us young men, now young men, if you go out and preach an invisible church, you're going to have one. And they did. And they do. The church is a visible, local, called out assembly, a body of baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the exalted head in heaven. He's above all principality and all power in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a Savior. 53 years ago, as Pastor Weaver has already referred to, my brother Bob gathered a handful of people in a storefront building down on Wichita Street and organized Worth Baptist Church. God used him to pastor the church for 7 years, giving it a great foundation. Honor to whom honor is due. Upon the death of my dad, who pastored in Danville, Virginia, the church there called Bob to be their pastor. Worth Baptist Church called me. I was only 29 years old. I'm still just 29 plus tax and insurance and interest and a few other things that go along with it. But I well remember that first Sunday when the church extended a call to me. I felt unworthy. And for 35 years, I kept you from having a pastor. We had simple facilities back in those days. I remember our office on Wilbarger Street was a converted garage. There was a standard, a barrier between the pastor and the secretary, just head high. She couldn't do anything I didn't know about. I couldn't do anything she didn't know about. Well, in 1976, we moved to this site, having purchased these 14 acres, built this building at a cost of $1 million. That was a lot of money in 1976. By the way, that's a lot of money now. Some said you'll never pay for it. Others said you'll never fill it up. But by God's grace, both were done. 1992, we burned the note ahead of time. Then came the building of the Family Life Center for $565,000. We paid every penny as we went along. When it was finished, there was no note to burn. There was no indebtedness against that building. During my 35 years as pastor, I saw God's blessings upon this great church. We were privileged to send millions of dollars around the world to support missionaries. We married the living. We buried the dead. We baptized the saved. As I look into this congregation this morning, I see the faces of widows and widowers whose spouses we laid to rest. I see the faces of people who stood with me and by me through thick and thin. They probably didn't always understand. Sometimes I didn't understand myself. But God. But God. But God. I want to give a special word of commendation to my wife, Helen. She deserves much credit. Where would I be today? My helpmeet for 56 years. I know we don't look that old, but as I've said before, if you flaunt it, if you got it, flaunt it. I want to say to you this morning that when I retired, God led you to call Pastor Weaver, and I'm proud to say he's my pastor. You see, I went for so many years and didn't have a pastor. You've done a wonderful job. Just look around and see what God has done. Can I tell you that it's not easy to follow a long-term pastorate? Did you know that most of the new pastors that succeed a long-term pastor do not survive? God has blessed this church spiritually, numerically, financially under his ministry and pastorate. And let it be known to all persons present that he has honored me as your pastor emeritus. He and Carlin have been good to Helen and me. And Pastor, I want to thank you for your consideration and your trust. Not many former pastors are invited back 6 or 8 times a year to preach. I can tell you that for sure. Some of them are cut off immediately. And I know that from knowing the people who've been cut off. I count it an honor and privilege to stand here today in the 10th consecutive anniversary day message that I've been privileged to preach to you. I could go on. There are a lot of things I could say. Which reminds me of the preacher after he had preached an hour and a half said, "Well, folks, I could go on and on and on and on." Little boy sitting on the front said, "Sit down and quit lying. You're out of notes and you know it." Well, I'm not out of notes. I could go on about the memories and the things, but nothing is more important, ladies and gentlemen, than the preaching of God's Word. I've entitled this message, "The Priority of the Church." I've subtitled it, "53 Years in Business for God." For 53 years, Worth Baptist Church has been in the business of earnestly contending for the faith. Jude said in his verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." Amen. Earnestly contend, that means to vigorously strive. I don't have to tell you, we're living in a widespread sin environment. Sensuality, lust, greed, selfishness, same-sex marriages, homosexuality, pornography, abortion, and 1,000 other things that could distract you and bother you and disturb you. But thank God your church has stood for 53 years earnestly contending for the faith. A day of apostasy, a great turning away. Paul said this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." You could write March 4, 2007, right across that passage of Scripture. We're living in a day of spiritual renegades. It's sort of a Heinz 57 variety. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, listen now, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Allah is not God. God is God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. For 53 years, Worth Baptist Church has been in the business of faithfully defending the Word of God. Let us go on record on this 53rd anniversary to say that we believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, precious, perfect, pure, priceless, pontifical, productive, and preserved Word of God in our own language, the King James Version. As sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God endureth forever. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There has never been another version in this pulpit but the King James Version. All three of your pastors have stood in defense of the Word of God as it is. Nothing added and nothing taken away. By the way, it does not need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. God got it right the first time. For 53 years, Worth Baptist Church has been in the business of fervently seeking the lost. You saw on the screen as you came in, seeking the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And my son of friend, hear me. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus, could I say to you, we love you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. There's only one way for you to be saved. And these brethren have sung about it. Didn't they do a good job? They sang about the blood this morning. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So if you're here without him, could I say to you, we want to see you come to know him as your personal Savior and Lord. You don't have to make a journey to Jerusalem and bow at a sacred altar. You don't have to go to Rome and see the Pope. You don't have to go to Mecca or Medina and bow at Mohammed's altar. All you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's in the book. And God wrote the book. For 53 years, Worth Baptist Church has been in the business of powerfully preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul so clearly and concisely and completely defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He wrote, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What scripture? Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ died according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scripture. The psalmist said in Psalm 16:10, Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. My friend, could I say to you today, Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. And I declare unto you, unreservedly, unhesitatingly, unqualifiedly, unequivocally, that what I've told you, death, burial, resurrection of Christ, is the true gospel. It is plain and positive and powerful and 24 karat truth. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Nothing added, nothing subtracted, no alloys, no mixtures, no substitutes, no kidding. God did not say to you and me, let's make a deal. If you stop sinning, I'll start loving you. Oh no, God said, I'm going to love you while you're still sinning. That's what Paul said in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet in sin, he died for us. Worth Baptist Church, for 53 years, has been in the business patiently waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love the great hymns about the coming of Christ? None of this is, Dr. Norris used to say, Johnny get a cat gun bigger than a rat gun, sis bar boom. The music that glorifies Christ. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. The old hymns of the faith that have a message, that teach a doctrine, that thrill our hearts. Saved by them, we live by them, we'll die by them. And I know today, my friend, as we patiently wait, we understand that his coming is in two phases. First, he will come in rapture for his own. Then comes the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, that period in which there'll be greater suffering, bloodshed, and carnage, greater than the world has ever known. And let me tell you, the only way you can escape it is to be ready when he comes. He will come in revelation glory at the end of the tribulation. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. There are scoffers, there are mockers. This crowd that's trying to say that the bones of Jesus have been found, and his wife and a son. How blasphemous. Oh my God, have mercy. We serve our risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time I need him. He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Oh, he lives salvation to impart. And you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I'm taking the angel's word for it. Come see the place where he lay. He is not here, for he is risen. He's seated at the right hand of God. He awaits that moment. to come. How do we know? Upon what do we base our hope and our blessing? Though all the things that are happening, and Peter said there come scoffers in the last days asking, where's the promise of his coming? Well, I got the promise of his coming. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul says, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28 says, unto them that look for him. Let me share this experience. I've shared it before, but this is 53rd anniversary. Some of you didn't hear this. 56 years ago, when Dr. J. Frank Norris united Helen and me in marriage in the First Baptist Church in downtown Fort Worth. We were both attending the Bible Baptist Seminary. In the summertime, I worked at the bomber plant. Charles, you know what I'm talking about. The bomber plant. Well, every morning at 6:45, I caught the bus to ride to the bomber plant. Guess who went with me? My beautiful bride. She just couldn't stand to be away from her wonderful, sweet, compassionate, loving, kind, tender husband. Kind of makes you sick, doesn't it? At 4:45 every afternoon, that bus came back to the same place. Guess where my wife was? You think she was back in the sweet dormitory saying, well, I know he's coming. He said he was. Oh, no. She was down at the bus stop looking for her beloved. That's me. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without a sin offering unto salvation. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's stand for our prayer. Our heads are bowed. I know you're crowded in this morning, and I know you have guests, and I know you have visitors, and I understand all of that. But if God has spoken to your heart this morning, by the way, the altar's already open. The invitation has already begun. You don't have to wait till we sing a song or offer a prayer. You can just step out of your seat right now and say, I'm coming. Who will be first? Who will join these that have already come? I want to trust the Savior, preacher. I want to know him as my Savior. I want that blessed hope. I want to rededicate my life, preacher. I want to be looking for him. I want to be watching, waiting, longing, yearning for his return. I want to be ready when he comes. Oh, by the way, if Jesus were to come today, would you be ready to meet him? Have you been washed in the blood? Has your name been written down? Are you saved? Are you serving? Are you where you ought to be as a Christian, as a church member? Maybe you've never united with the church and God's leading you to this place. Why don't you step out of your seat this morning? What a wonderful day on an anniversary day to come and join the fellowship. I invite you to come. Father, speak to every heart this morning. Men and women and young people and children, grandma and grandpa, husband and wife, visitor and member, short and tall, whomever, may the Holy Spirit speak to every heart. Bring men to Christ. Bring men to the altar. Bring men to the church. Fellowship, membership, dedication. Whatever the needs are, meet them, I pray in Jesus' name.